Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk some Bucks basketball with us. Now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Matt, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm just great. How are you?
We're doing well. So how impressive was last night's win?
You know, I think it was one of their signature wins of the year. It's a tough place to play, playing against the toughest guy to cover in the league in James Harden. They had a pretty rugged first half there. It could have been worse than it was, but they were down six. It didn't seem like they had everything totally together in rhythm. That third quarter, just that defense really turned the tide in the game, and they were able to get to the rim basically at will, and just the fact that they were able to hold on, like I said, was just very impressive.
Last night, I really thought we were sitting here talking that Middleton, Brogdon, I mean, you're getting a lot of contribution from a lot of these guys, and Giannis obviously really shined on one of the brightest stages. One of the interesting things I was reading last night came from ESPN, and they were talking about trade deadline and every team that's got something out there that could possibly be a trade chip. They were talking about Bledsoe. They were talking about the contract status, and they were looking at all these different pieces and thinking, okay, when they sign Middleton, what are they going to do? And who do you think they would, with the kind of season Bledsoe is having, he's not the selfish guy everybody predicted he would be. He's really got into a great mesh with Middleton, with Brogdon, with Giannis, with everybody on that team. Is he a guy that really would be considered to be a trade chip?
No, I don't think so. I think just he's so integral to everything they're doing, especially defensively. You know, Mike Budenholzer has a lot of faith in him. At the front of their defense, he does things that no one else on their team can do in terms of hanging with and making life difficult for opposing point guards. And offensively, he has that ability to be dynamic and create off the dribble and blow by guys. And in a lot of games this season, they've trusted the ball in his hands in the fourth quarter of close games. Knowing that he can get into the lane and then make quick decisions, either to score himself or to kick out to shooters. So it just doesn't seem like a really good idea for the Bucks. I don't know what you're going to get in return, but it's going to be hard to replicate what he brings from whoever comes back.
See, I thought the exact same thing. I just wanted to hear from somebody else because I thought there's no way. They finally got a guy this is what you were counting on when you traded for the guy, and now you've got it, so why would you trade it away, basically? In the meantime,
they'll sort out this summer, when they get there. And if this team is good enough, if they get deep in the playoffs, they're going to be willing to pay for everybody. And they're going to be willing to figure out how to make it work because they'll know by then. They'll have proof that this can work. And I expect that if it comes, push comes to shove, if they have to pay some luxury tax, I think they'll do it for the right team. I don't think these owners have been all that stingy since they got here.
Now the MVP talk really heats up. You've got another on the national stage performance out of Giannis. He performed extremely well last night. I think what's more impressive is his rebounds than it necessarily was his scoring last evening. But he got contributions from everybody, but you could clearly tell this one meant something to him. At what point do we really say this guy is probably one of the top two or three for the MVP in the league?
Now? I think now
it's that solidified? Is he is now that guy on that stage?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's won, Eastern Conference Player of the Month. He only awarded it twice during the first 3 months. He got them both. He's been Player of the Week like four times. He's putting up crazy efficient numbers. Every team knows exactly what he's going to do, and he can still score on them. Defensively, he really does a lot of things, whether they're credited statistically or not, that make the Bucks, one of the best defensive teams in the league. They're winning at a high rate, higher than most people expected, so that's going to go in his favor. I think right now it's him and Harden as the two odds-on favorites. Just depends on, who your bookie is, depending on what odds you're getting. But those are the two guys, and as long as, he continues doing what he's doing, I think that there's, now is a great time to start, and continue talking about him as one of the top two, three guys for that award because he put himself there.
What does James Harden have to do? Because I'm not a huge fan of James Harden because he really doesn't play both ends of the court. We all know that. But averaging 34 points a game, his record-tying 12th franchise record-tying 12th 40-point performance It's been crazy to watch him put up the offensive numbers that he has. What does he have to do to win it?
I mean, right now, he has to do kind of the stuff he did last night, and maybe even be better in order for the Rockets to win games with Chris Paul out, Eric Gordon out. You know, he's really just putting the team on his back, and he's playing at an incredibly high level, just the way that he's shooting, distributing, just making that whole team run. But you just wonder, you know, how long can he keep doing that? That takes a lot out of you. Putting up 30 shots takes a lot out of you, and, you're going to have to stay at or near that level to keep up. And, you know, obviously everybody right now is focused on what he's done in the past 15 or so games, which has been marvelous. But, you know, you have to see, like, can he keep doing it? And, you know, I think you have a better argument that Giannis can keep doing what he's doing. He's been consistent through all 40 games so far, whereas Harden has his spike. So, you know, you expect him to eventually come back to earth.
Looking at the rest of this lineup for the Milwaukee Bucks, and you would assume as injuries solidify themselves and such, you're going to Ilyasova coming back, you're going to get even better down the stretch. But right now, this thing's functioning like a well-oiled machine. I mean, how has Budenholzer been able to at times kind of put the reins on these guys, and at times he seems to have kind of taken them off? It really seems like he's got a good rhythm and a good flow for what his team needs right now.
Yeah, I think from day one when he got to Milwaukee, he started building a confidence and a great relationship with the players, letting them know, hey, like, I want to put you in the best positions possible. I don't necessarily want to micromanage you. I want to set up a system and a scheme that you can flourish in, that takes all your best skills and highlights them, and not just for one player, not just for Giannis. Obviously, the system works for Giannis, but, you know, Brook Lopez is shining as a three-point shooter and a rim protector. You know, Eric Bledsoe is getting, you know, put on the top players, each of the top guards, and also getting the ball put in his hands. Chris Middleton is still getting his shots and getting his opportunities, and he's playing defense. You know, Malcolm Brogdon has a consistent role, and he's flourishing. So all those guys like can see how this works for them, and you know, Bud has set up a kind of a practice regimen that is understandable and consistent, and, you know, prioritizes rest, and everybody just knows what their role is, and everyone's happy with that role, especially because they're winning a lot. So it's just really worked out perfectly for the Bucks in terms of the coaching hire, and it'll be interesting to see how high this team can go.
Talking with Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, you mentioned Middleton. At what point would you say he is out of his shooting slump?
I think he's mostly out of it. I mean, the slump back in December was really bad. I mean, the other day, I think it was like 2 games ago, he was like 7 of 8 from the floor, and like 3 or 4 from three or something like that. And the hard part is that there are gonna be certain nights, you know, as a shooter, where you're gonna make some more, you're gonna make fewer. Like yesterday, he started 1 of 6, but he kept going and finished much better than that. It was in double digits. You know, that's all gonna happen. But yesterday was a game where, you know, the Bucks were going to be driving a lot more. They saw opportunities in the paint, and that's not really his greatest strength. And so it became more of a Malcolm Brogdon scoring night, because he is a straight line driver. When he puts his head down, he's convinced that, you know, he's going to score. So it was Giannis in the paint. It was Brogdon down there. It was Bledsoe making cuts. And so, you know, Middleton was less of a focal point of the offense, but he was still bringing on the defensive end and helping out Harden and doing what needed to be done in helping with that victory.
When I had mentioned Ilyasova, I like the fact that he's coming back from that injury strong. Last night, 4 of 8, 2 of 2 from beyond the arc. He gives you 10 points and 17 quality minutes. Brown comes off last night, 21 minutes, 13 points. It seems like this team, every night you go and you look at the box score, somebody else is giving you something of quality. It's not just Giannis, and they pretty much share it each and every night. This team, is this one of the deeper teams we've seen in a long time?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the last game against the Jazz, it was Thon Maker coming off the bench.
Right.
And lighting it up, 15 points, 5 rebounds, just, you know, locking down on defense, just bringing tons of energy. And then he got like a short run yesterday, but it became an Ilyasova game. And that's just kind of how Bud decided to do it. You know, there was a stretch where DJ Wilson kind of came out of nowhere and shocked a lot of people with the way that he was playing and just flying around on defense, scoring a little bit, got a double-double. I mean, George Hill some nights, you know, he'll be the guy off the bench. I mean, you go down the lineup, even like guys like Pat Connaughton, who isn't really playing right now, or like Dante DiVincenzo started the season playing pretty well, and now he doesn't really play. I mean, they just have so many guys, and you keep going down the roster that are serviceable, you know, quality NBA players that, you know, it's almost an embarrassment of riches for Bud. It's hard because you have to find minutes for all those guys. You know, at some point in the season, you want to make sure you keep guys fresh. But when you have that much depth, I mean, you kind of just got to roll with whoever is hot at the time and just kind of appreciate that you have all those options.
This stretch that they have on the road, going, was it the next 20 of 30 or something to that extent, what makes everybody then sit up and take notice if they end up, say, winning, I don't know, 15 out of the next 20 that are on the road? Is that something that you go, okay, that's reasonable? Should we have expectations that high? Or are you still just looking to go over a little over 500 on the road?
I mean, 15 to 20 on the road would be stellar. I mean, I don't know if we can expect something that good. You know, but, you know, the schedule is somewhat favorable. And you have a decent number of Eastern Conference teams that are 500 or hovering around 500 or below 500 that the Bucks should theoretically be able to beat. I think the one interesting thing with the Bucks now is that, you know, with their record being what it is, I think they can go like basically 500 the rest of the way and get the 50 wins. And so, you know, that's just, you know, incredibly impressive for a team that, you know, what we got so used to over the last few years of having expectations. And then they would kind of just peter out and they would become, you know, a middle-of-the-pack team. This year, you know, they've really set themselves up well, you know, with a bunch of signature wins, especially road wins in Houston, Denver, Golden State, to be one of the best teams in the league and be able to, you know, sustain that success.
Which team in the East is best set up to go toe-to-toe with them in seven games, to take them seven games in a series? Because I know there's some teams they should just beat. But who's best? Is it Toronto that's best set up to go toe-to-toe with them in seven games?
I think right now I would say Toronto. I think that just the way that they've played throughout the season, the versatile, deep players that they have tend to match up pretty well with the Bucks. But, you know, Boston's not far behind. You know, they're starting to play a lot better and starting to get into their rhythm. They have plenty of talent there. You know, Indiana, obviously we saw, you know, at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in December there, you know, made the Bucks look as bad as they've looked all season.
Mm-hmm.
With the way that they shut them down. And so obviously if you get them in a series, that one's going to be a knockdown, drag-out series. And, you know, we haven't seen the Bucks yet against the 76ers since the Jimmy Butler trade, but those guys are supremely talented. It's just a function of, you know, do they have enough depth in shooting to keep up? Because, you know, those top three guys are, you know, among the best three you can get on a team in the NBA. But you know, how do they fit, and do they have enough guys around them to make it work? So those four teams are all, you know, tough potential tests in the playoffs, and the goal for the Bucks is to get as high of a seed as possible so that you can kind of stay away from those teams, those top teams, as long as you can.
Matt, great stuff. Appreciate it. We will talk some more Bucks with you down the road, okay?
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Matt Velasquez of the Journal Sentinel joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider been doing it for a long, long time.